Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, the latest salary survey by London-based recruitment consultancy Robert Walters shows that hiring activity in Singapore is booming and should carry over into 2020, while digital professionals who are well-rounded with business acumen are preferred candidates for hirers.
And according to the survey, hiring activity remained steady despite the economic slowdown in 2019. And we speak to Eric Hyung, a manager of supply chain and procurement at the Robert Walters to Singapore to find out what hirers are looking for in 2020. Eric, welcome to the studio. What are the top trends and major focus for businesses in Southeast Asia shaping hiring needs? And what are the insights of import came from this survey?
Hi, thanks for having me here. Obviously, the most obvious trend we are seeing today would be digitalization continue to be a main driver across multiple industries in Singapore. With digitalization, data-centric hiring will drive demand for technologically and digitally savvy talent across different industries. Due to the digitalization process, we are also seeing more contracting and interim hiring, particularly across projects and transformation-focused industry, such as technology and financial services. Last but not least, I think some of top jobs and skill sets in demand in Singapore in 2020 will include jobs such as cybersecurity, full-stack developers, data scientists, data analysts, and tech salespeople.
So it seems as though economic conditions may not necessarily inform hiring activity. What does then inform hiring activity, Eric?
Yeah, so hiring activity will be driven by, of course, industry, as well as the company's performance, as well as growth plans in the coming year. So while in the macroeconomics might not be in favor in general, but there are green shoots and industries that are performing particularly well. For example, technology, e-commerce, and within these areas, candidates with hybrid skill sets, like you rightly mentioned, candidates who bring in commercial skill sets will be extremely valuable to companies who are looking to expand and continue growing.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that. What's well-rounded and what's business acumen?
Yeah. So, for example, a traditional function like HR or finance, right, would be classically dominated by candidates who have been in the same function for the last 5, 10, 15 years. But if you're able to translate that in terms of how you upskill yourself, how you bring in new ways of doing things using technology, and then translate that into how commercial outcomes can be provided with your new projects and skill sets, I think these are extremely important for companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, the report also stated that hybrid skills are important as well going forward. Mm-hmm. Tell us, what are hybrid skills and how might they affect mid-level employees?
Yeah, so hybrid skills, for example, HR professionals who are well-versed in workforce analytics, finance professionals who are well-versed in business intelligence, I think that will give hiring organizations or hiring managers a better sense of how their teams are performing, where they're going, and in terms of how this will affect candidates or professionals, is that, first of all, professionals will have to be a lot more open-minded in terms of trying new things or learning new things. And second, they also need to look at taking on additional responsibilities, additional projects that might
Within the department or even in other departments?
Within the department, other department might be a little bit different from what they're doing now, but that will give them an opportunity to learn something, to take on something that they might not traditionally have the opportunity to do.
So, Eric, at this stage, are you saying that C-suite must have these hybrid skills? If we're saying now that it is starting to affect mid-level employees to have these hybrid skills?
I would say C-suites will have to look at how these mid-level professionals can bring on board changes, but eventually, yes, the C-suite will also have to know how all these changes will affect their own organization.
Right.
Well, does the report also tell us what are in demand are talents expecting with regards to the industry trends, and how can companies court and secure them?
Yep. Who are in-demand talents well, Eric?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, the in-demand talent will be positions such as cybersecurity, full-stack developers, data scientists, data analysts. And I think one of the...
And they're in short supply, right?
Yeah, they are in short supply. Mm. And one of the things that they might be looking out for is really not stability in terms of staying with the same company or the same organization for 10, 15 years. But they are more interested in what are the learning opportunities, within the company? What are the challenges which they can learn from within the company? And of course, with all these technological changes, right, they also want to know, are their companies, are their organizations at the forefront of these changes so that they can also learn about what is the most in trend or what is the latest technology in the market. So these are things that will that are important to them. Secondly, the next thing that would be important to them would be their managers or their bosses, right? People like strong, inspirational leadership or managers who can guide them along, mentor them along, not only in their day-to-day work, but give them advice or guidance in terms of general career progression or where their career should be heading. Last but not least, I think it's always important for hiring managers or organizations to find out not only how they can attract candidates or professionals, but also why are professionals choosing to leave their previous place of employment. And that will give us a good sense of some of the motivations that this person might have.
Right. We're speaking with Eric Keung, Manager, Supply Chain and Procurement at Robert Walters Singapore. Let's talk a bit more about that, Eric. 18%, it seems your surveys found, of tech professionals stay less than 2 years in their roles.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times it could be push factors, sometimes it's pull. What other sorts of motivators are there for moving jobs?
Because of the high demand, I think the most obvious pull factors would be career progression, compensation, salary, benefits in their new companies. Sometimes professionals might just want a change in the role or the responsibilities. It could be things like work-life balance. But coming back to what I've said earlier, especially for technology professionals, right? I think what they really want is the opportunity to learn through new projects, through new ways of working things, through new transformation and digitalization processes within a different organization. I think for them, that will add a lot more value in the longer term, whereas compared to, you know, just a salary increment.
Mm-hmm.
Is the world just the tech employees now? And the rest of us just have to sit back and take what
it,
we
it
can
seems
get,
like
right?
It seems like it. But no, it is definitely not. While we have talked a lot about tech because it is in demand, because there's a shortage of supply, but tech is enabled by human beings, right? So the rest of the functions will still have a part to play.
Mm.
For example, sales and marketing professionals, supply chain and procurement professionals, HR professionals, finance professionals. What tech brings on board is a different way of working, better way of working, more efficient way of working, with disruption from competitors that previously might not be available in the market. So I think that is where tech comes in, and not really tech for the sake of tech.
Well, you mentioned compensation, Eric. I mean, candidates moving jobs also, we believe, expect about 10 to 15% increase in their salary. So how realistic is this outlook? I mean, with the new economy, people who are looking forward for a shift in 2020?
Yeah, I think for the more niche skill sets, 10 to 15% is realistic for these talent. However, obviously, that really depends on the case-by-case basis. It differs from individuals to individuals, varying circumstances. But on average, I think 10 to 15% would be an accurate prediction of.
And economic conditions, again, don't sort of like have a play in these kinds of expectations or what can be given.
Yeah, so at any point in time, professionals, when they move job, it's also a risk for them, right? So they would have to assess whether a 10 to 15% increment is worth the risk of moving into a new organization, working with people they might not know or they've never worked with before, new set of rules, new set of processes. So at the end of the day, they make the decision on whether that is enough pull for them. If without 10 to 15%, some of them might feel that, hey, look, just because you give me a 5% or 2%, might not, the pull factor might not be big enough for them.
All right. What then can employees do to future-proof their careers? We're now moving into economic downturn. I know economic conditions don't seem to be informing hiring activities or how much a person gets, but I'm sure it does to some degree, say in the long term, to one's career.
Yeah, definitely. So employees definitely can stay future-proof by seeking out learning, development opportunities internally, externally within the organization, keeping yourself updated on changes within the marketplace, be it new competition or technology that might impact your particular industry. And I think I also want to particularly highlight something that I've said before earlier, taking on new responsibilities, expanding your scope of responsibilities to something that's outside your job scope would become increasingly more important as an opportunity to take on new experience, new skill sets, and that will be very valuable in terms of future-proofing careers.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are, that says for the employees. What about companies, Eric? I mean, how can companies future-proof their old workforce?
Yeah.
Is it even their responsibility to do that?
Yes, of course. I think every organization would have the responsibility to make sure that not only for their own employees, but also for themselves, that their employees or professionals remain updated according to market trends, because that will impact on companies' performance. I don't think any organization will say, I don't want my company to continue growing or continue to outperform my competition. So it goes both ways, a win-win situation for both employers and employees, to make sure that there are enough learning opportunities, there are enough growth within the organization for these professionals as well.
So what else can job seekers or employees look forward to in 2020? I mean, this year we saw, or 2019 anyway, muted salary increments and jobs numbers shrinking anyway. What's up for 2020, you reckon?
Well, the good news is economists and analysts have raised Singapore's 2020's growth forecast. So hopefully that means that job seekers may find it easier to look for a job in 2020 compared to 2019. Mm. However, there are still certain uncertainties within the market, especially for more macro and economic trends, right? So there's still uncertainty around trade war between US and China, Brexit. So those we'll have to wait and see the repercussions coming up from these economic trends. But in general, I think 2020 seems to be a better year compared to 2019.
Eric Keung, Manager, Supply Chain and Procurement at Robert Walters, Singapore. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.